Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
He's been sentenced to death. I think something he wanted to actually get. Breaking news. Dylan Roof, the murderer, the hate crime murderer that he was. He was unrepentant today. Of course, if you don't know who he is, he walked into a South Carolina church, a very famous, one of the first black churches in the South, the A&E church there. And, well, he blasted. Blasted away. Blasted away. And he's getting what he's supposed to get, which is death. That's it. I don't see a problem with it. Don't care. He didn't care. You know what? He looked at the jury today, and this is what he said. He said, I still feel like I had to do it. I'm not a big fan of the death penalty because I just don't think it works. I think it's a waste of time. It really is. But in truth, you know what? If we could just hurry this along, that'd be super. You know, that'd be super. He says, but I'll never ask for forgiveness or mercy or explain the crime. Don't care. Don't care. Let's just move. This is one of those things where, you know, this is my thing with the death penalty. If we're going to have it, can we use it? Especially in something like this. You commit a crime like this, there should be no reason your ass should be paid for forever. We were doing, because I do our show here nationally, and I do a show for Sacramento. We were talking today because Charles Manson is near death. He's been in and out of the hospital for the last several days, and the Grim Reaper is probably scared of him, but he's getting closer, and probably don't want to touch him. But he's cost the taxpayers of California over $2 million, and this does include litigation and other things like this. This is just for the housing of him and the expense of keeping his dumb ass there. There is no reason for us to keep him around. There's no reason to keep Dylan Roof around. There is nothing that he is going to be able to do that is going to change anybody's mind that is worth it. Well, the state shouldn't kill. No, but neither should he. He did, so the state should. We'll move on. And by the way, it's not the state. It's the feds this time. It's a federal crime. This is a hate crime. He's a racist son of a bitch who needs to go away. That's it. Case closed. End of story. We can move on with our lives. I will sleep well at night. I won't bat an eye or shed a tear over that SOB. Nothing about that says that we should keep him in there. Three hots in a cot? No. What are you going to do? What do you think he's going to do in 6 years when he says, hey, guess what? I don't like my wiener, and that's what made me upset. I'd like to be a woman, but I still want to be called Dylan because that's one of those names you can get away with. If that's okay with you. No, it's not. Actually, it's not. It's time for you to go bye-bye. We wish you the best. Do the Timothy McVeigh thing. Wave all your hearing. Let's speed this thing up. Thank you very much. Speaking of things I could care less about, Jeff Sessions today is on the Hill all day, and they are just grilling him, as you do with the grilling. But the funny, this is the way Jeff came out, and is there a Freudian slip here?
If I'm confirmed, I will commit to you and to the American people to be worthy of the office and the special trust that comes with it.
Trust. I said trust. I meant trust, but I said Trump. But I meant trust. That's what I meant. I don't know where that came from. He's going to get confirmed, as are most of the people here, because that's what's going to happen. I mean, you know, they control everything, the Republicans. There's no reason they shouldn't be confirmed. He will be. And by the way, Sessions, for all of the screaming and the yelling and the shouting and stuff and the fake KKK people that showed up to protest today and all that stuff, for all of those things, can I just point something out to you? He's kind of liked by even the Democrats. He has a lot of Democratic friends in there. It's a grilling, but it's all a showpiece. It's all a bunch of white guys and some white women and the Black Caucus, and they all get together, and they all ask him a bunch of questions, and in the end, it affects you very little, and nobody gives a rat's ass, and we all move on with life. And Jeff Sessions, like everybody else in politics, as I point out, if I held up a picture of four old white guys and said, which one's Jeff Sessions, 99 times out of 100, you'd be wrong. That's it. There you go. We move on. Chad, it's important. He's going to be the attorney general. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's important. It is. It is important. It is important, but it's not going to affect your life. So we move on. I digress. President Obama tonight is giving his farewell speech. This is his last trip. This is it. It's about 2 hours and 50 minutes from now. He's going to be doing his last thing as far as president. You're taking a trip, going somewhere, giving a speech. From here on out, it's pardoning people and cleaning up, you know, the areas and you know, just I think reminiscing and collecting stuff that your thoughts and minds and a few political things here and there inside of D.C., but tonight's the night. Just off about 4 miles from where he gave that victory speech, he is going to be giving a speech tonight that will, I don't know what to expect from it. I don't know what to expect from President Obama. Is he going to give me a speech that talks about his great legacy? Is he going to be honest in his speech and said, look, I came here to Washington to try to get some stuff done. I think I did some things. I think I upset some people. I think I tried to you know, I promised a lot of things, and a lot of those things I didn't get finished. But he may just go up there and say, look, you know what? It was all the Republicans' fault. With this president, I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do. Again, legacy will come over time. Legacy will be written by the history of what the remnants of this presidency will be. You know, whether Iran gets nuclear weapons will be something that will land on the feet of him. If Obamacare is, you know, is done and dusted for real, which I think it is for all intents and purposes, that's not going to help his legacy very much. I think people are frustrated with the way Obamacare has went with a lot of the things that has happened. You know, you've got, you know, people said, well, you know, all of this stuff that Obama's did, he didn't have any kind of salacious, you know, kind of issues, and there wasn't any real bad things that happened. I'm like, well, Fast and Furious was bad. I think drawing the red line was bad. I mean, you can point to a lot of things in you know, in his presidency that were bad. But I also said, look, he did things and tried to do things when both sides failed to act. And I don't blame him for that. I think there was a lot of things he wanted to do. But the optics of the situation, whether it be the Republicans, whether it be the Democrats, I think there was things that he couldn't do, which, thank God, I think in a lot of ways, I look back on some of the stuff he did do and you think, oh, geez. But legacy is going to be decided over time. It's not going to be decided tonight. He's going to give a speech, and it is going to be his farewell speech. This is the last time. In fact, producer Phil and I were talking. So normally, you're done as the president on January 20th, and you're flying home. His home is where, Phil?
It's in Kalorama, which is a really trendy part of D.C. right outside of Georgetown.
So you had a great idea to take one last trip. What would that trip be?
He should take Marine One to Andrews Air Force Base, get on Air Force One. They'll fly him to Dulles, and he can take a car home.
Just one more trip, right? Just one more trip. That's what you want. You want that one more trip. Think about this for a second, right? Whether you hate him or like him, just think about any president in this situation. His life in 2 short weeks is going to change tremendously. And over the next month, his life is going to change. Just it's going to be crazy how much it's going to change. It's got to be a huge, I'm sure there's a huge relief, and I'm sure there's going to be stuff that's missed. Plus, you got to remember something. He's only 55. I want to see how active he's going to be. And I tell you what, he's going to be active inside the Democratic Party for one reason. When he came on, the Democrats were kind of that movement and that feel that they had, and I'm sick of George W. Bush and the whole nine yards, they controlled everything. He's leaving, and they're at their lowest point in God knows how long, decades. We're talking several decades. I think it's, what, only 16 now? Republican governors, you've lost the House, you have the Senate, and it has come down tremendously. And as far as when you look around the states, as far as the country, mayors and city councils and whatnot, That's flopped as well. It's not just those. It's everything at this point in time. And that lands on his feet, and I think he feels that, and I think he's going to do a lot. And I also think that there is going to be something that you're going to that we haven't seen before, which is a president that I think is going to get involved a lot more in the political process and may have a voice that many presidents have always stayed away from. You know, whether you liked W or not, he kept his mouth shut, right? You got to give him that. You know, Clinton kept his mouth shut. By and large, these guys have always done that. Cheney didn't always do it, but he didn't talk every day. I don't think that's going to be the case. And quite frankly, I think one of the big reasons is because I think he really cares about his legacy, as we all do, right? We all want to leave a good legacy. We all want to look back in our lives and think, oh, I did okay. You know, raised a good kid, you know, had a good life. All right, it was all good. Wasn't bad. It wasn't all bad. He's worried about his legacy when it comes to the presidency. And I think he is going to fight tooth and nail and help the Democrats because he knows if he helps them, it'll help his legacy. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSOM, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You could text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You could also email the show, chat at ChadBensonShow.com, and check out all of the good stuff we got across our social media world, Instagram, Twitter. What else do we got there? We got the Facebook, simple and easy, Chad Benson Show, CHADBENSON. Crazy phone call came through the other night, and this just goes to show you, I'm going to show you what my life and what Phil's life and what Anthony's life is like dealing with some people, and that no matter what you do to people, no matter how much you show them something, they are living in a world of fake news, and you'll never be able to get them out of that. Chad Benson Show. It is us, the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. You know, this whole fake news, propaganda, whatever stuff that's out there, and it's all out there. It really, you know, I mean, I go online every day, and I tell everybody, I'm up about 4:30 or 5. Sometimes I'm up at 3:30. Depends on how early or late I go to bed. Last night I was up much later, The stuff that I see and I get sent from people and the craziness. You know, last week I talked about Planned Parenthood. And I said, the minute I post these things, and I'm going to get 25 crazy responses from people that are from wackadoo websites that are just, they're off the reservation of reality. It is. They give one side that's mostly made up. And there's zero validity to any of it. There's zero actual facts. It's just, hey, I've got, I can go play around and make a pie chart, and I'll make it like this. We get a call the other night, and this just goes to show you some of the craziness. This is what we have to deal with people and the insanity of what this lady thinks is going to happen based on a website that she has found. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Sherry. Please return my call. This is very important, and I wish you would get a hold of me right away. It's concerning Barack Obama. I believe he is he's going to be declaring Sharia law, or he's going to be declaring martial law.
She had to figure out exactly if it was Sharia law or martial law. She wasn't quite sure where she was going, depending on her website. So it's not Sharia law he is declaring. It is martial law. You can pick it up, ma'am.
Martial law. And before President Trump takes over, and he's planning on calling in the UN. I've known about this for about eight and a half years, since before he ran for government. He and the Clintons are, I believe, communists. I'm 62, and they've always been threatening since World War II to infiltrate our country, the U.S., and take down the world and bring in the New World Order. And anyway, when he had been vetted by the U.S. government, they didn't vet them properly. Another agency called Newswatch magazine, they did vet him also, and they said that he was, he and Hillary Clinton both studied under Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky is a well-known communist organizer. And so what's happened is the communist has infiltrated our government and been
all right, I can't listen to her anymore. She is, God bless her, she seems like probably a very... Yeah, very, very nice woman, I'm sure. She probably bakes a hell of a cookie. But she's, I mean, do you hear, this is what I get all day. The hate I get, the disgust I get, the wackiness I get. And by the way, it is driven by some of it, by Crazy Talk Radio. It is driven at some of it by 24-hour news cycles. It's driven by, like, Newswatch and all. These things are, they're not real, all right? It's not. The communists, of course the communists have been trying to infiltrate. We tried to infiltrate them. They tried to infiltrate us. Okay, wow, that's great. But outside of anything else, since before he was president, he was ready to declare, you know, martial law. And exactly what happens when he declares martial law? This is my thing. What happens? I have never been in the situation where I've had such belief about something and worried about it so, like this, that the day that he's sworn in, and we have the peaceful transition, that what happens after that? I mean, do you go, like, if my thing is, who gives credence to a website or to any of these people anymore when they tell you that, like, you know, this is going to happen and it doesn't happen? It's like that guy that always tells everybody, he takes out the billboards, that the world's coming to an end, and he gives you a date, and then he goes, I got the math wrong. It's like, can I, like, nobody believes you anymore. Nobody believes you. But there's just some people, it doesn't matter what you say to them. That's what I was trying to tell me. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't. I'm sure she's a sweet lady. I'm not here to hammer on her. I'm just saying, those websites are out there to scare you. I get at least two or three people that send me wacky stories every single day. And there's nothing you can say or do to change their mind. It's crazy. Speaking of changing minds, I got the worst businesses in America. Straight Edge, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I love crazy people. What was that thing last year, producer Phil, when they were doing all of those maneuvers out here in the West? Something green. I can't remember. Soylent Green.
No, it was something in Texas that was... It had a strange name to it.
Yeah. You know, remember that? That was like, this is it, right? Like, this is it. Like, Obama's close. Look, man, I was not a fan of his presidency. You listen to the show. I gave him a C-minus or whatever. I didn't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he hates America. I think he loves America. I think he has a view of where America should go. But never in my wildest dreams have I ever thought that... It's never going to happen, people. Just slow your roll, for God's sakes. God, how do you get here? Like,
Jade
when
Helm.
You... What? What
Jade
was it
Helm 15.
Jade Helm. That's right. I thought it was green something. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Now somebody's like, oh, my God, Chad said green. There's something out there called green. Texter writes in, hey, Chad, this is a good topic for the show. I think the 9 victims' family should decide between a life or death sentence for Dylan Roof. I bet they'd give him life in hopes that he would find salvation, humility, and remorse. Ken in Florida. I don't know. That's probably, but, in this day and age, they don't get to decide that. This isn't the Middle East where you have a chance to face your victim and or decide if your victim should pay with their life or something else. So they have already spoken, the jurors, and they decided that he should go bye-bye. 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 The worst businesses in America, the most hated businesses in America. There's a rule, essentially, that's out there. It's not a hard and fast rule. It's not written down somewhere. But it's kind of like this rule that we all have. If you get crappy something, service, whatever it is, you tell 10 people. If you get good service, you tell one. That's kind of the way it is. Yeah. You know, I mean, if you have the best steak of your life, if somebody asks you, hey, you know what? I went somewhere last night. It was great, man. It's the greatest steak I've ever had in my life. Oh, where? Such and such a place. Oh, okay. But if that service is crap, you will seek people out to tell them, don't go to this place. Well, we have got it now. The 12 worst companies, as compiled by Wall Street Journal's annual customer satisfaction survey, it's put together by American Customer Satisfaction Index and the Zogby Analytics, created for the Wall Street Journal. Let's start at number 12. I was reading through most of these, and I'm going to say, we have a disdain right now for big business, but it's also, there's a disdain for news. Chipotle's been on here a couple times. I like Chipotle. Have people gotten sick? Yes. I'm sure if I got sick, I'd be pissed too. But, you know, I don't think they're a horrible business, but I understand why. But some of it, to me, it's bad press. It is. Charter Communications at number 12. Got one of the poorest reputations for customer service, and I think we can all agree, look, I don't want to call someplace where I get transferred to someplace in Asia and or somewhere else, and I've got to talk to somebody. Not because I'm a xenophobe or a racist. It's just because after spending 35 minutes on a phone tree and then to get to transferred to somebody who's pretending to be from Middle America, it doesn't work for me. And they are the worst. When it comes to communication is their business. It's not what they do. Number 11, Walmart. They're always that. A lot of it has nothing to do with whether or not we like Walmart because we all shop there. We all pretend because we're high and mighty that we don't. But at the same time, we all go and shop there. It has to do with the fact that they look bad. They only pay their associates $10 an hour, blah, 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 blah. It is what it is. Customer service? Well, you're only paying 10 bucks an hour. You get what you get. What'd you expect? Cream of the crop? Ow. Number 10, Sprint. Low customer satisfaction of any of the wireless companies. Yeah, in addition, Sprint's service lags behind some of the primary competitors, according to a study done by a company that does mobile performance measurements, Rotometrics. Both Verizon and AT&T report better overall performance. And I see their new commercials now. It's like, does less than 0.1% really matter? With the guy that used to say, can you hear me now? Number 9, Sears. They suck. Let's just move on with Sears. I don't think we need. Sears is not longed for this world. That's the best thing I can say. The one-stop shop to get dad some sort of tool and an ugly tie is not longed for this world. Dish Network. Boom. And know this. It's not about the product for a lot of these things. These are hated companies because of the customer service that people get. This is what this is about. Hated because of the customer service. Hated with dealing with something when you had a problem. Right? This is the issue. People like going to Costco or some of these places because when they got a problem, you walk in, you handle it there. They give you cash back. You move on with your life. It seems to be pretty simple. Nordstrom's, I think, was the same way. This is all about that moment you have to pick up a phone and you have to make a phone call or the perception of how bad the company is. That's what this is. Dish Network, like a bunch of other stuff, negative sentiment towards what? Their customer service.
Few companies. I had Dish Network for years and had fantastic customer service from them.
I never had a problem. I had them for a year. I never had a problem with them. I've had Time Warner or Char. I don't even know what they're called anymore. I know what incarnation we are with Time Warner, but I've had issues with them on numerous occasions. Some of them have been okay, you know, things that they've settled really quick. Sometimes it's been I scratch my head. But again, it all depends on how you feel. Did you have a good situation with it? Everybody tells me, I'm with T-Mobile. I like T-Mobile. I have zero problems with it. People are like, you should get on this. You should get on that. And I'm like, I've never had problems. Well, I would have problems. I'm like, well, that's you. This is me. But Dish does have some issues. The satellite television service provider has one of the lowest employee satisfaction ratings of any major company reviewed by Glassdoor. Only 38% of Dish employees would recommend a job to a friend. Spirit. This is the airline company, right? Poor customer service is typically not a point of pride for any company. However, for many years, it was part of Spirit's Airlines marketing strategy. The company famously offered cut-rate airfare and little in the way of comfort or customer service by charging additional fees for such amenities as assigned seat, in-flight refreshments. Spirit was also undercut when its competitors were charging for airfare, which is true. And Spirit, I have not been on Spirit Airlines, so I wouldn't know. But airlines are generally a pain in the ass because travel is a pain in the ass. There you go. That's just what it is. Number six, Facebook, which I found to be really weird. Facebook has been criticized for facing sharp criticism by not doing enough to curb the fake news leading up to the U.S. presidential election, as well as some of its privacy policies. But the IPO's through the roof. Number five, Wells Fargo. It's pretty easy to see why. After what they did with the fake accounts and everything else, this is why. A lot of it's bad press. Numerals four. Always on here, McDonald's. Can I just say this? I've been to a McDonald's probably 1,000 times in my lifetime. I don't think I've ever had a real problem with McDonald's. I don't think I have. I don't think I've had a problem where I would say, this, I will never go here again. I know what I'm getting. It's pretty simplistic. This isn't rocket science. I want it quick. I want it fast. I want it to go. That's it. It's a Big Mac. I mean, this isn't, you know, like if I want a gourmet burger, I'll get a gourmet burger. It's a Big Mac. I'm going somewhere. I want it fast. But again, the $15 hour wage is one of the big reasons why they're low on the totem pole here. That's the way I think of that. Mylan, you don't know who they are? You should. They're the EpiPen people. This has all to do with the press that they got about the EpiPen. This is all to do with that. It's nothing to do with anything else. And by the way, 90-some percent of people, 95% of people, that never felt the rise in the EpiPen price because it was covered by insurance. But that's what it was. That's what this particular disdain and why they're hated has nothing to do with their customer service or any of those stuff. It has all to do with the price of the EpiPen. Number two, Bank of America. I can see that. Dude, I hate Bank of America. Like, that's a bank. That's one of these things on here I go, I hate that bank. Every time I go into one, it's a 30-minute wait. Every time I, and it drives me crazy that there's 28 people working at the freaking bank and there's two tellers. Like, what do you do here? It's like going to the DMV. But it's even more depressing because your paycheck's involved, and it's usually pretty sad when you get up there. But it drives me crazy. The one thing I like about them that I will say I give them kudos for, and that I know Chase is doing as well, is they've got those you can go over now and you can pick up a phone and somebody comes on a screen and you can talk to them. But people are still terrified to give the machine money. I was in a Bank of America a couple weeks ago. There was probably 10 people working there. No joke. 8, 10 people working there. There were two tellers, of which one of them was having issues the entire time. I get it. It's horrible. And number one, the most hated businesses in America, Comcast. Not even close. Comcast is 55% of respondents reported having a negative experience with the company, the second worst of any customer of any corporation. But it wasn't just that. Besides that, their internet service and subscription television services are known to be they think about them being superior. They're not. Customer satisfaction is the worst. Ugh. Internet and service received the fourth worst score out of 350 companies, according to J.D. Power ratings. Yeah, I've had run-ins with Comcast. I have on numerous occasions. And very rarely can I say they were good run-ins. Most of the time, I think, do we have Comcast here? I'm not sure if we have. I don't even know what it is anymore. Again, everybody's eating everybody, so we're not quite sure who. We have Time Warner, Spectrum, Comcast, Yahoo, whatever it is. I don't even know what it is. Notice I didn't see Amazon in here. Have you ever had a problem with Amazon, Producer Phil?
No, and the thing about Comcast is they got you. You don't have another option.
Yeah, that's the thing that drives me crazy. This is what pisses me off. This is why I like competition. But he's right, man. They got you. Time Warner, they got you. Like, they got you. You're screwed. Ugh, drives me crazy. The Chad Benson Show Facebook at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can email the show. Simple and easy. You know it's a great place that has bad customer service, but it's fun? Dick's Last Resort. It's a restaurant where they insult you. It's hilarious. Like, if you have a tie, they'll cut your tie. They write horrible things on the – they have, like, the paper instead of, like, you know, like, the, on the table, and they'll write horrible things and say horrible things. It's fun. That's where I want my bad customer service. But the food's good, right? The food's good. Hey, that's what I'm saying. You're a pedestrian. You're walking down the street. I'm going to tell you where the safest places are to walk. Hint, hint, nowhere in Florida. The Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Yeah! Let's get crazy!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Awesome, awesome!
For overtime, Watson. Touchdown!
What a game last night. One for the ages. Definitely a quarter for the ages. Clemson took a lot of money off Vegas last night. Apparently the big money was on Clemson to win last night and taking the points. They covered that and then some, winning 35-31 outright and claiming the national championship. Deshaun Watson, the star of the game. He rushed for a touchdown. He 420 yards, three TDs, no interceptions. I'm going to say the word beast because that's what he was. That guy was he's a freak. Fantastic game last night. And, it was, you know, I sat there and I watched it, and it made up for the crappy weekend of football that was shoved down my throat last weekend, for the excitement that I had, and then I was robbed for. Hopefully I will get better this weekend, but what a game. And then I was totally bummed because I'm like, wow, this is sad, because now there's no football, college football for the next 9 months. Nothing. No college football. Zip, zilch, nada. What a game, though. What an absolute game. That had everything and all the high drama and everything you needed to see. It was a fantastic game, and two teams that are just, you know, and you look at Clemson, they're a great team. The great story of Dabo Sweeney when he first took the job, and I think they lost to South Carolina, was their rival. And he's the guy who's the coach, and he walked into his office, or into the room where his office, right before his office, and his wife was there, and she'd met him, and she was in tears. And she says, you know, the athletic director and the president are inside your office, something like that. So he goes in there, and he's like, you know, she says, look, I'm so proud of you. And he's like, no, you know, look, we've come this far. It's good. It'll be fine. And he walked in there, and they just lost the game. And the guy looked at him, and he says, you know what? I've never been prouder, and I never knew more than I do now that you're the right dude for the job. And 6 years later, boom, national championship, been in the game twice. Guy's the coach. That's a hell of a game last night. I enjoyed it from top to bottom. Thoroughly enjoyed said game. The worst place to walk in America if you're a pedestrian is Florida. That's the best way to describe it. Of the top 12 worst places to walk as a pedestrian, Florida occupies 10 of them. You name it. You're walking, it's bad. That's it. Couple play, Mississippi's on there. I think Arkansas's on there. California's got two spots. But it's not a good place. McAllen, Texas is on there. I know, shout out to our friends at KURV out there. Yeah, you guys are on there. Horrible. Can do better. It is bad, though. It is bad in some of these places. But I love how when they did this whole thing, they turned it into a racial thing and a political thing. Because apparently, the poorer you are, the more likely you are to get killed by a car. The poorer you are, the more likely you are to get killed by a car. And the richer you are, even though you are walking, you are less likely because you have power. People in Seattle who are upper middle class or rich who have the power to use walking as a luxury and therefore go complain to the local municipalities that they need more walking space, they're less likely to die because those people will listen to them. Insane. Man, I tell you what. Here's one. Native Americans are overrepresented. Old people are overrepresented. People of color are overrepresented. Native Americans are most overrepresented racial group in the pedestrian deaths, up almost one percentage point to 2.7. But get ready. Standing Rock Sioux Tribe recently held a protest to stop action against the Dakota Access Pipeline from being built. The Native Americans make up 37.5% of the pedestrian deaths, but only 5.1% of the population in the state. Maybe they should stop protesting that and start protesting bad driving. You guys thought about that? I'm just saying, you're worried about the pipe that may go through. You should be worried about that Oldsmobile Cutlass that the 93-year-old dude's driving. That's what you should really be worried about. I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. I'm thinking of you. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonSon, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program. Feel free to do so. Love it when you get those text messages. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. We got text messages, emails, tweets coming through, kids. It's crazy. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.